Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I am hanging in there, trying to write some slide decks for some training I'm giving next week.
No, that's not too bad. I'm finally awake.
That's good. I'm into cup of coffee number two.
I've been out in Seattle a little bit lately, and it's like there ain't no red eye like a SeaTac red eye.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were out there earlier this week.
I flew out for a one-day class, you know, and then here I come, raring back.
So you weren't out there long enough then to truly get adjusted to the time, although that red eye will kill you coming home.
It's not the red eye that kills you. It's the booking of flight on one day's notice when there's only like one seat left on the plane. So you know that you're going to be riding cattle class the entire way.
Yeah. Like the seat next to the bathroom that doesn't recline, that's in the middle.
Yeah. When you're on that 757 and there's 44 rows and you're in row 43 on the aisle. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Well, I'm glad you're finally back awake.
Yep. Turns out all I needed was a 14-hour nap.
Sweet. I haven't had a 14-hour nap in, it's been a really long time.
Yeah, you need self-sufficient kids to make that happen.
Yeah, we're getting there eventually, one of these days. So, anyways, people probably don't want to hear too much about our kids and our red-eye flights and all of that. So how about we talk about Azure Security Center today?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's take a dive into Azure land again, because it is a fun place to be.
Yes, and this is going to be another one of your topics because, again, you're doing a lot more Azure, so maybe switch it up every couple weeks or every other week or so. I'll let you pick an Azure topic, and the other weeks I'll pick an Office 365 topic, and we can just kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, maybe we'll both learn something.
Maybe.
You never know.
So, Azure Security Center. I'm going to let you start with what it is because, again, to be fair, I haven't played with this at all. Give us an intro to Azure Security Center.
Yeah, so Azure Security Center is a core Azure service. So when you're going into the portal and you're looking for things, it's kind of one of your core resources that you can add to the left-hand side and your quick nav and favorite it and all that good stuff. It is a security management and ATP, advanced threat protection tool set, which gives you coverage for potentially your Azure resources and also any hybrid resources that you might have out there. So think virtual machines sitting in some other premises, whether that's multi-cloud like AWS or GCP, or even on-premises in your existing data centers today, whether those are virtual machines or physical in that case, right? So what it's doing is it's providing a single pane of glass to get in and monitor security across those workloads. Again, multi-cloud, hybrid, whatever it happens to be, and your Azure VMs. It allows you to apply policy to those resources in Azure. And again, like a virtual machine's a resource, so it can go a little bit above and beyond in that case to ensure compliance with your security standards. It can find and fix vulnerabilities for you, so do some auto remediation in some cases. You can also use your existing access that you give it into your workloads to go ahead and figure some things out and do like adaptive application control, so like application whitelisting and app locker and things like that automatically on your Windows VMs to go ahead and block any kind of malicious activity. It leverages a ton of log analytics. So log analytics, the service, formerly Operations Management Suite. And then it uses that to do some additional threat intelligence. You know, hey, here's a botnet and it happens to be attacking your workload that's hosted in US East 2, that kind of thing. It can go ahead and bring it up. One of the other kind of sweet spots for it in some of the more advanced tiers too is it actually allows you to jump into like a graphical investigative interface and actually do threat response based on what's going on. So a common scenario for that would be you have a virtual machine and you've opened up the NSG or the load load balancer in front of that VM in such a way that you've left an SSH port open or an RDP port, right? And so great, I've got 3389 open to the internet, and now we're starting to see brute force attacks come through. Microsoft can actually, via this tooling in Security Center and Log Analytics, go ahead and surface that up for you. Say, hey, you're currently under an RDP brute force on VM1, VM2, and VM3. Would you like to shut it down automatically? And there's just going to be a button and it'll adjust your NSG and fix it up for you.
Very nice. So does this apply more to that IaaS type infrastructure? Like you said, the VMs, the NSGs, different load balancers, or does this also apply to things like, say you have Azure SQL or you have one of those PaaS or one of those other services up there and it starts noticing attacks against that? Maybe it's like the container service is kind of a IaaS stuff, but how far does this extend across all those different Azure services?
For virtual machines and core IaaS workloads, it's depending on a couple things, right? It wants your VMs, like it doesn't know about your VMs unless they're connected to your log analytics workspace. And that log analytics workspace is the workspace that's connected to Security Center. So it's definitely about providing coverage for those IaaS resources. But then it also does do service coverage as well for PaaS services, because your virtual machine that sits out there, well, it has a VHD that's associated with it, right? And that VHD sits in a storage account. So storage accounts are a PaaS service. So it has coverage for storage accounts. It has coverage for, like you said, data services like Azure SQL. And then it can also do, because you're defining policy in there, you can do a couple other things. So effectively, you're looking at like your security policy just as a policy component of Security Center. And then you can go ahead and flag things in there for some of that IaaS stuff and then really services that kind of surround IaaS. So you're not going to see a lot of coverage for something like machine learning in there, right? Because machine learning is 100% a PaaS service. But those services that do have dependencies or hooks or could potentially be leveraged by IaaS, you'll see a lot of those in there.
Okay. And then these policies, I'm assuming it can cover things, like you said, noticing brute force attacks. Can some of these policies even go into things like, hey, if this user gets assigned as a local admin on one of my VMs, or if I give this user access to one of these services, maybe a port gets opened, can it automatically kind of say, hey, somebody just opened up port 80 on your load balancer, that shouldn't be there, I'm just going to shut it down without any warning because my policies say only port 443. What are those policies, or what are those policies kind of able to control across those different services?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that exist out there today. When you look at the policies, there are things like what they're doing is it's taking the policy and then it's building a recommendation based on it. So it's going to be something like, hey, I have an endpoint protection issue where I don't have any kind of endpoint protection on my VM. So you don't have anti-malware or McAfee or anything like that sitting out to protect that workload. Or it's going to say that I don't have any type of encryption on my disks and ready to go. So what we do is there's a couple of core policies. There's maybe like a dozen of them. So they take a look at things like system updates, security configuration, endpoint protection, disk encryption, network security groups, next-gen firewalls, web application firewalls, all sorts of stuff. So what you do is you decide which are the core policy sets that you want to be applicable to your environment, right? So every customer isn't going to run a next-gen firewall. You know, we're not all going to go out and spend like tens of thousands of dollars and spin up a bunch of Palos and checkpoints or, you know, whatever your firewall flavor happens to be. Just not going to happen in every use case. So if you don't want the Security Center to be flagging that as a, oops, you haven't done it, you're going to go ahead and shut that particular policy off. And that way it's not going to make any recommendations or anything based on it. right?
Okay.
Some of the really helpful ones, like endpoint protection, what it'll do is it'll go out, it'll flag your VMs, it'll say they don't have endpoint protection. It won't do automatic remediation for you, but what it will do is it gives you a single lens and a single way to come in and say, here's the VMs that are compliant and the ones that aren't compliant, and then it's going to give you a single button to go ahead and deploy endpoint protection. Like if it's a Windows Server VM, it's just going to install Microsoft anti-malware for you, which is better than nothing, right? Because you had nothing before.
Got it. So this is a lot more that scenario where, hey, I get an alert and here's a button to take an action to remediate it. It's not really going to do that automatic on the fly remediation for you just based on those policies you set.
Again, it depends on which one it is and what's going on. So there is some logic in there. And it's a little confusing because Security Center policies, or really those policy sets, are, I'm going to use some bad words here because it's just, it's not good the way they've worded it. When you have that particular policy, that's a policy that's in Security Center. I'm not talking about subscription policies like platform policies and platform governance, because there's a whole nother JSON kind of templated rule set that you can use to manage your environment. So like in that case, hey, I want to make sure that all of my storage accounts always have encryption enabled and they force HTTPS connections. That's something that we could set via platform policy, which isn't security policy, if that makes sense.
So you mean naming is poor? Or just not, maybe not poor, but it's confusing. You have to make sure you prefix policy with which type of policies you're talking about.
Yeah, so we're talking about specific policy components of Security Center and specifically security policies in Security Center, not Azure policies or policy sets or policy initiatives in Azure itself.
Got it.
Clear as mud, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's crystal clear now. I have a perfect picture of how it all works.
And that's what we were aiming for. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff, Security Center comes in two tiers. It comes in a free tier and a standard tier. So free is for your Azure resources only. And it does have some limitations because, hey, it's free. Basically, free just does those security policy assessment and recommendations. And that's about it. It stops there and it doesn't do too much more. The standard tier is where you get into having a bunch of the other stuff. So adaptive application control and application whitelisting with AppLocker, advanced threat detection, or really that those advanced threat protection kind of capabilities come into play, built-in alerts, threat intelligence, all the stuff that really gives you a warm fuzzy if you're looking to protect those workloads and have it all come across.
All right. I always like free. I was looking at the pricing here too, and it is. When there's free, so you really have no reason not to at least turn this on for VMs that you have in the cloud just to help kind of alert you, give some assessments of those. I know you said it has to be connected to some other Azure services, but I think all of the other ones you mentioned, Log Analytics, all of those are also free, if I remember right, from one of our earlier podcasts.
Correct. Yeah. So Log Analytics has a free tier, and Security Center does have a dependency on Log Analytics, because what it's doing is it's really a, you can almost think of it as a Log Analytics solution, where it's gone out and now it's taking the data that's collected from your VMs and from your activity logs in Azure, and it is running all of its intelligence and heuristics on top of that data set, right? It's not just magical that it's going out and finding it. It's going to a centralized data source to get at it. So Log Analytics does have a free tier, just like Azure Security Center. So we're talking like free as in beer for both of these workloads. Now, what happens is when you step up to the standard tier, because that does have a cost component to it, what Microsoft is doing on the back end is they're also going to upgrade your Log Analytics workspace from the free tier into the OMS pricing tier, just automatically. You can get a 60-day trial. So when you switch from free to standard in Security Center, you do get 60 days of kind of free access to go ahead and figure things out and see what it's doing. If you decide you like it, you just keep going, and then you end up in what is currently $15 per node per month to go ahead and have that coverage. If you decide you don't like it, you can always go ahead and step back down in that pricing tier and go back to the free version.
All right. So just that warning too, then, it's not really only $15 per node per month, because you're also then going to start getting charged like the $2.30 per gigabyte for your log analytics, because that automatically got upgraded as part of that.
Correct. Yeah. So your mileage may vary, right? Because your workspace is going to be different than my workspace. This is going to be different than the next log analytics workspace that's downstream. And we're all going to have different solutions and different retention requirements and all that kind of stuff. So you'll want to do a little bit of a rationalization exercise here, because it is not just the features and functionality, it is also cost. And now it is features and functionality across multiple components and kind of multiple tiers and services.
Okay. So going into that $15 a node, what exactly is a node? I know you mentioned like monitoring VMs and monitoring other services. Is this like each service, do you pick and choose, hey, I want this VM to be monitored with the Security Center, and I want this Azure SQL database to be monitored? Is that what your different nodes are?
In this case, a node is a VM that is connected to the OMS workspace or log analytics workspace that is associated with Security Center. So you can't pick and choose and say, hey, I have 100 VMs in here, but I only want to monitor 10 of them in Security Center. It's going to be everything that's in that workspace. If you have VMs that you want to monitor in OMS, but you don't want them in Security Center, you would just go ahead and push those over to another workspace.
I think I got it.
Clear as mud, right?
Exactly. This whole thing is clear as mud.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is one of those things, like you said, there's no reason that we wouldn't turn it on because it's free. So let's at least get the free stuff out there and maybe tweak recommendations a little bit. So yeah, you know, if I don't need next-gen firewalls, let me just go ahead and turn off that security policy and I'll be all good. But it would be really helpful to understand when my machines are missing endpoint protection, right? Because maybe you're just spinning them up through the portal, or you're spinning them up through CLI or ARM templates, and you haven't figured out how to do the VM extensions yet. So you haven't automated that component. Well, it's really nice to have kind of a single place to go and have a graphical representation of what's happening there. Because what Security Center is going to do is, when you land in it, it's going to have your recommendations, all the security solutions you've deployed. It's going to show you all your events you've generated. And then it breaks down kind of prevention across those four high-level like VM compute pillars. So you get your compute, your networking, your storage, and then applications, like if you happen to deploy App Insights or anything like that.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I'm looking at it and I'm like, I should just go turn this on for my VMs, because frankly, I have a bunch of VMs up there. It's all test, demo, playground type stuff. So I'm not super concerned about security, but I have no idea about a lot of this stuff. I don't know if I can't remember if I've turned endpoint protection on. Does this even watch things like inside? Well, it does with endpoint protection, but like Windows patches. Will it alert me, hey, you're missing certain Windows updates, certain security updates on this server? That type of stuff too?
It will. So it does have a security policy for system updates and security configurations as well.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of a no-brainer with that free tier and some of the stuff it can monitor, because I'm going to guess there's a lot of people that really don't have any idea if their VMs up in Azure are fully compliant, fully patched, actually have some of these recommended security policies on.
What you can do in that case too, if you're kind of doing the servers as cattle kind of thing, you know, where these are not immutable objects now. They can come up, they can go down, right? We add them, we delete them all the time. When you go in and you configure Security Center the first time, when you're selecting your pricing tier and doing all that kind of stuff, there's an option in there to say, when you associate with your OMS workspace, or you just go with the one that Security Center creates for you, however you end up doing that, there's a little like on-off button for automatic provisioning. And what that'll do is if you turn that to on, every new VM that you stand up will automatically get the Microsoft monitoring agent, the MMA agent, deployed to it, and it'll automatically be associated with that workspace. And then by virtue of being in that workspace with Security Center as well. So you can automatically have coverage as workloads come up and go down, that kind of thing, which is really cool as well.
Okay. Can you set even different policies then for different VMs? Obviously, like a SQL server is going to have different things that are going to have to be open. For instance, SQL port 1433 is going to have to be open more than likely on your SQL server or some other port. Whereas a SharePoint server, you're not going to necessarily want some of those other ports open, but maybe 443 or port 80 has to be open on that one that you don't need on your SQL server. Can you go in and kind of tweak these policies based on the type of server?
You can't today. It's kind of a server's a server today, and then it's looking at everything holistically that's in there. And it's not doing, so I just want to, it's not doing like ports and protocol kind of thing for you. It's looking for attacks if you're in that advanced rule set, or really that standard tier. It's not actually going out and saying like, oh, this is a SQL server, this is a SharePoint server, things like that. It'll be higher level. It'll say, you have a virtual network and you haven't deployed NSGs. You should really deploy NSGs. And here's a one-click button that'll go ahead and create and take you into the creation blade for an NSG and let you start to do that association and kick things off that way.
Okay, so this is still at a much higher level when it comes to some of that type of stuff.
It really depends on kind of what it is and what's going on. You've got your kind of, it's like the free ones, like you're eating like a chicken. So I've got like some, you know, chicken and asparagus in front of me. Really, if you want to have like steak and potatoes and all the other things, you've got to step up into that other tier, because even though it's giving you the kind of same base set of recommendations, it's also giving you all the additional analytics and insights. So one of the big ones that I see a lot is that adaptive application control and automatic application whitelisting with AppLocker. So what that does is, because all the applications that are installed on your servers are automatically being logged inside Log Analytics, it can go out on the solution side in Security Center and it can say, hey, we see that every VM you deploy has, you know, in the case of your SharePoint servers, has SharePoint on it. Oh, it has all these .NET runtimes. It has, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And it has these Windows roles and all that good stuff. Would you like me to automatically create an AppLocker policy for that set of servers? And you say, oh yeah, that would be awesome. So what happens is with that AppLocker policy, the next time one of your rogue SharePoint admins comes along and says, hey, I really want to run my migration tool, and they try and spin up ShareGate or something on the server, they're not allowed to install it because it's all automatically locked down by AppLocker because you had that automated policy generated for you. So it's worthwhile to get into the advanced tool sets if you really feel like you're going to use them and need them.
Okay. And that's when you jump up too from that free tier then to that paid tier. Again, looking at this, when you get into some of those adaptive application controls and some of that application locking.
I mean, that adds, like, there's some preview features in there. Like, they have an identity and access one now where, you know, how many times have you worked with an organization or, you know, if you're an admin and you're sitting there and you admin, like, Windows boxes, and somebody comes along and they say, you know, how many failed logins are we seeing across the environment? You're like, I don't know, I got to go figure that out and maybe query something here and query that there. Like, there's a dashboard that's already built for you that can tell you all of your identity posture, it can tell you your failed logins, your logins over time, and just give it to you in kind of a single dashboard across your environment. It also, one of the other big ones that it adds is just-in-time access, or JIT, to your VMs. So just-in-time access is, you and I, Ben, you know, we work in an environment and there's a virtual machine that sits out there. It's a Windows VM, and occasionally we might have to RDP to it. Well, generally speaking, it's a bad idea to have your RDP ports open all the time if you don't need them to be, right?
Yep.
So, but most people leave them open all the time because it's a pain to have to go find your NSG or run your script that changes it, and then remember to change it back when you're done. So what just-in-time access does is it gives us a place as consumers of virtual machines in Azure to go request access to that VM. And that can be driven by an approval process or something else. And once I've requested access, Security Center automatically changes the NSG for a defined period of time that's defined in the policy. Let's call it like 2 hours. It opens up RDP access. And then when that 2 hours is done, it actually takes it away again.
Wow, that's really nice.
Yeah. So it's all based on user request, RBAC, Security Center, and it's leveraging really kind of all those core components that ultimately give us a better posture, right? And then just-in-time access, it's smart enough to know that Windows VMs need RDP and Linux VMs need things like SSH.
Okay.
So you can actually go and figure that kind of stuff out. So if you think about wanting to have like a multi-hop kind of posture where you might do like bash and host or jump boxes or things like that,
yep,
you could really make it so I have to request access to both the jump box and potentially to the VM that sits behind it. And then based on like a UDR or my routing policy or something else that I have on the network side, I can actually make it so that only my jump box can talk to the VM in the back, but I still had to request access to both kind of thing.
Got it. That definitely would help lock some of that down. Does it even go into, could it go into like user permissions or even that RDP service? Or is it still, again, at that higher level where it's more just at the network layer and the port layer with the NSG?
That one's at the network layer with the NSG today. There's potential over time that they can extend the service to go ahead and reach down to your VMs and do something. Today, it's primarily leveraging log analytics. And log analytics is kind of a one-way jump out, right? So you have that MMA agent or potentially like MMA plus the dependency agent or something like that installed on your VMs. And those are taking data and pumping data out to log analytics. Log analytics isn't reaching back in and doing a bunch of stuff. It's kind of a one-way data stream.
All right. So I had one other question. I don't know if you've looked at this at all, but you mentioned all those reports. I'm assuming those are all built into Azure. Can you pull this data into Power BI and even do like Security Center reporting then in Power BI next to maybe your Azure AD reporting or your Office 365 reporting, or is right now that just in the Azure portal?
No, so that's the beauty of Security Center being based and additive on top of log analytics. So log analytics is that consolidated data set for your Azure activity log, for all your VM logs, for all these logs from the other services that you might have pulled in. And log analytics does have an export functionality where I can export to CSV based on a given query, or I can also go ahead and pump that data into Power BI if I want to do richer visualization, or I don't like the visualization that log analytics is giving me.
So that would be if people want to pump this into Power BI, they're going back and looking at the log analytics, then not necessarily looking for like a Security Center report in Power BI.
Correct. Yeah. So they would go into log analytics, and when you've deployed Security Center, it extends the schema in your log analytics workspace. So you end up with some new kind of we'll think of them as like tables that you can select out of and be able to do all your clauses and everything else against.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, that is a lot of information. I definitely have a much better understanding of Security Center now. Another thing to add to my ever-growing list of things to go in and play with and experiment with.
Yeah, it'll only take you like 2 years to learn, so get started now.
Yeah, you might as well. And I'm sure it'll be the exact same in 2 years because stuff in the cloud never changes.
Yeah, never.
No, yeah. All right, anything else we should know about Security Center before we wrap it up for the day?
No, I think that about does it.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Scott. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.